So today we're in chapter 5 of 1 Peter. That's where we're going to be going. You can take your Bibles and turn there. If you have your Bible app on your phone, you can go to the events page and you can turn there as well. And you can follow along with all the scripture that we are going to be looking at. A couple more weeks in this letter that I think are really going to be helpful and serve us well. So just prepare for that and ask God to speak to you and speak to us as a whole as we go through this. So 1 Peter chapter 5. Before we get into there, I always like to remind you about Peter because this is so important. If you understand everything that's gone on in his life and what God has done in and through him, I think it just makes us go, wow, God could use me. Because there is nothing special about this man. When Jesus meets him, he's just named Simon. He is a simple fisherman. He's from a little town called Capernaum. And he one day is invited to follow Jesus. And he does that. And he has his ups and he has his downs. And some days he does well. And some days he really blows it. Like the day that Jesus was arrested. And he didn't know what to do. And he just ends up denying that he even knew Jesus 3 times. And he thinks it's just over, it's done, he goes back to fishing. But the resurrected Christ meets him on that same shore and invites him once again, Peter, follow me. And not only do I want you to follow me, I want you to be the leader of the early church. And I don't know if we'd pick that kind of a leader, but that's who Jesus picked and set forth the church with this man by the name of Peter. And really, that's what we're going to talk about today, this whole idea of leadership and how everything rises and falls on leadership. This is why what happened this week was so important. Why? Because everything rises and falls on leadership. Show me a company that's doing well, and it's probably somebody who is leading that company well. Show me a company that's struggling. It's probably somewhere in leadership. Somebody is, you know, taking more than they should, or they're doing things they shouldn't do. They're treating their employees terribly. Everything rises and falls on leadership. And sometimes we just forget that. We forget how important it is. We forget the necessity of it. We forget that everything rises and falls on leadership. So I want you to understand that today, more than just talking about leadership, we're going to talk about how this is really what's happening with our church with leadership and what we want to do moving forward with leadership. Because here's what I really believe, that COVID revealed that we are struggling in this area of leadership. Now, what do I mean by we're struggling in it? That there are things that we no longer do, some of them because we just can't during this time. Some of it's because we just don't have anybody to lead during this time. And I've talked to lots of my friends who are in churches this size. Some are in churches a little bit bigger. And they're all talking about the same thing. That somehow during this time, we lost people who are willing to lead different areas of the church. We lost that somewhere. We that slipped away. And all these churches, we're all talking and we're like, wow, you have the same struggle I do. This is amazing. How are we going to fix this and what are we going to do about it? And that's the question we ask a lot now. What are we going to do about it? Because everything rises and falls on leadership. Okay? Now, I know you think I only have a job on Sunday and I don't know what he does the rest of the week. But that doesn't mean I do everything. Okay? And lately, a lot of it's been that way. And that's what's got to change. Okay? Because if it's up to me to do everything, there's a lot of things that aren't going to get done. Okay? There's just not enough time. There's just not enough hours. There's just not enough. And it's too important, our mission, to lead people in a growing relationship with Christ, to just put that on, we got a pastor, let's stick it on him. We have a youth pastor, let's just stick that on him. Okay? And we'll just show up and you know, we'll give maybe and serve a little bit and that's it. No. There are many of you sitting here this morning. God has gifted you. God has given you abilities. And we need you to decide that you're going to use those abilities and those talents in the area of leadership to further the mission that God has given to us as a church and to see him reach this community. So I want you to know the New Testament approach because we're going to get into a word this morning. It's a word we use around here. It's the word elder. The New Testament model, because I think sometimes we have to go back and we have to remember how things work. The New Testament model was for the apostles. Peter is an apostle. He started off as the disciple, and because he saw the resurrected Christ, he now uses this term apostle. It's the term that's used for him. When they started churches, they would appoint elders to lead the church, okay? That they would look and say, okay, we can't be everywhere, we can't do everything, and so we need to leave people who are going to be in charge of those churches. They were called elders. That's the system they used. That's what they did in order to make sure all these churches had somebody who was there leading them. So, for example, Paul did this. Paul would start a church, he would appoint elders, and he would lead them there. At the end of one of the scenes in the book of Acts is that Paul, one last time, wants to meet with those elders who he appointed in the city of Ephesus. Many he had personally led to Christ. And there's this incredible scene where they're crying together. They're just there together, praying together, because they know what's going to happen to Paul. Paul's going to go to Rome. He's going to be executed for following Jesus. And they know this, and it's an incredible scene. And the church of Ephesus rose or fell on those leaders. And so Paul appointed them. He left them. He said, how can I help you and encourage you? But lead the church. So that was the model. That was what they used. When a church saw a group come together, left them, appointed them an elder who would lead that church. So Peter feels like he needs to speak into these leaders' lives. Here's what I'm hoping for us today. I'm hoping we're going to get a better understanding of spiritual leadership, of church leadership, and that together we'll understand who's called to that. Are you called to that? Are you called to be a part of that? And that we are going to look at, okay, so what does this next season look like in our church in the area of leadership? So, 1 Peter chapter 5, you know, I think it's the first five verses this morning as we dive in and look at this. Here we go. So, Peter says, as your fellow elder, because he considered himself an elder, a leader, and a witness of Christ's sufferings, and as one who shares in the glory that will be revealed. This is just his wind-up as he's getting ready to talk to them. I urge the elders among you. So now here's is going to be his instruction to the leaders of the church. He needs to leave them something. He needs to encourage them. He needs to instruct them. He needs to remind them. It's not like this is the first time he's ever saying this to them, but this is what he needs to say to them now with what is happening and going on. Here we go. Give a shepherd's care to God's flock among you. You will see this language all the way through Scripture. I know it's hard for us because literally, when's the last time did you care for sheep? Okay? Did you do that this week, right? Most of us have never done that. We've probably only seen a few sheep in our lives. I don't know what it is for you. But so we look at this analogy and we're like, I don't understand how that works. This is the picture all throughout Scripture. Psalms 23 is the shepherd psalm because that's what David was, a shepherd. A shepherd that God took out of the sheep pasture and stuck him to lead the nation of Israel. And that's what he understood. I'm a shepherd, I take care of sheep. And so he looked at that and that became the language of how he pictured God, that the Lord was his shepherd, that he directed him and guided him and helped him. All the things that he did for the sheep, he saw God doing for him. And Peter reaches back into that same language. Now we know Peter wasn't a shepherd. What was he? He was a fisherman. But there he goes back to that same language. Hey, when you're doing this, okay, I want you to consider yourself a shepherd, right? You're not a fisherman. You're not just throwing nets over people, right? You are a shepherd, which means you are caring for people and leading people. And there's a few things you ought to know about what this looks like, okay? Shepherds have such a way with sheep that sheep get to learn their voice. Do you know that if a shepherd does not train somebody else to have a voice that the sheep will listen and follow, if that shepherd dies, the sheep are lost? They're lost. They're just absolutely lost. And most of them get in all sorts of trouble, and they scatter, and there's all sorts of issues you have with those sheep because of what has happened. There's been stories in the Middle East of shepherds who weren't watching where they were going and fell off a cliff, okay? And the sheep all went off with them, right? Because that's what they do. They follow their shepherd, okay? Right today. So he's saying, as God takes care of us, language of 23rd Psalm, I want you to see the people in your church that way. Care for them. Help them. Encourage them. Help them when they're struggling. Pray for them when they're discouraged. Help them. Okay, this is much different language than, right, I'm the CEO and I'm barking orders and telling you what to do. This is far different. It says, that's not our language we're using. We're using the language of the shepherd, and that's what I want you to see the people around you as. How are you going to care for those individuals? And sometimes we disconnect that. And every single time, a church disconnects that caring aspect of what a shepherd is going to do, the shepherd ends up not caring for the sheep, actually not really caring for them at all, and you have all sorts of issues take place. And we've seen them more and more and more. Okay? I'm about to unsubscribe to emails because I'm tired of seeing those stories. Because it's just heartbreaking. Church A over here is doing well, it's doing great, and the next thing you know, Pastor A, who's leading it, well, he forgot he was the shepherd, and instead of helping the sheep and encouraging the sheep, he's actually misusing the sheep, manipulating the sheep, getting the sheep to just give him what he wants. And God says, no, that's not what my leaders do. So give a shepherd's care to God's flock among you. Continues. Exercise oversight, right? Because somebody has to exercise oversight, okay? I understand we just think we're great at leading ourselves, but at times there needs to be oversight, there needs to be directions, decisions need to be made. And then he says, but as you're doing that, and as decisions are being made, and you've got to make decisions, and sometimes they're really hard and they're really difficult, do that not merely as a duty. Oh, God, not me again. I'm going to make that decision. Oh, this is terrible, okay? I don't want you to consider it that way. I want you to do it willingly under God's direction. Understand, you're not going to do anything by yourself, or I got to figure this out. What am I going to do? Okay? That's just, I'm just telling you, it's such a relief. It's such a relief, okay? There is a scene, but if you've ever seen the movie or not, Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Okay, there's a scene where he's trying to figure out what's going next, and they look at him and basically ask him, you know, what are you doing now? And he goes, I don't know. I'm making it up as I go, okay? And I am telling you, that was exactly the way I felt come April, okay? I have no idea. We're just making it up as we go, and we're going to see what happens, okay? Because sometimes that's what it's like when you're leading. And it is so refreshing to know that God will speak into your life, he will give you direction, he will help you, that you are not doing this alone. So take this language, because some of you are in leadership in other places, okay? Some of you are leaders in your home. Is this what it looks like? Okay, are you doing that willingly and trusting God to give you direction so you know what to do? Are you doing it at work? Some of you are leaders in your job. Okay? You have a position in which you have people under you, and they're under your care, and you've got to give oversight to them. Are you doing that under God's direction? This isn't just for the church. We far too much compartmentalize our lives. Compartment Sunday. Okay, I show up on Sunday. I have a language I use for Sunday. I have a dress that I wear for Sunday. There are certain words I don't say on Sunday that I do when I'm yelling at the football game, right? I have all these different things, okay? And then I go into my work life, and I have a language I use there, and I treat people a certain way there. What if we just took this and we just carried it over? So now, in your Monday through Friday job, those of you who are leaders, you looked at that as, oh, what if I just did that? What if I did that under God's direction? I don't just need God's direction when I walk in these doors and we're together as a church family. I need God's direction, especially when I leave these doors and I go to the life that God has created for me. Continues, not for shameful profit, but eagerly. Now, I have no idea what he means, shameful profit. No clue, okay? But there are lots of people who have misused, and this is his point, Don't misuse your leadership. Don't misuse it. Yeah, you can do it eagerly. You're not doing it for what you get from it. You are doing it for what God has called you to. Not what can I get? How can I get what I want from this? No, how do I simply let God use me in this and through this? What would it look like if we just did that? What would it look like if the leaders in your life that you report to, okay, that you're under, just did that? Just said, oh, this is not about me. This is about the people who are under me. This is about the company I'm a part of. This is about something other than me. And you went out and you did that eagerly. And do not lord it over those entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock. Okay? You're not the boss, you're not the big guy. Think of yourself as, this is what God has entrusted to me, and now I need to be an example, right? I need to be an example to that. So if I encourage people to pray, to give, to come together, guess what I better be a part of? Praying, giving, coming together. I better be a part of that, okay? Or there's a disconnect between what I'm asking people to do and the way I am living. Very dangerous for a leader when that happens. When there's a disconnect from the example I'm setting to what I'm expecting out of everybody else. I don't get just to ask everybody else to do this. I have to do it first. I get to do it first to try to be an example of that. You get to do that first. So parents, what if instead of just barking orders at our kids, they saw that we set the example first? What would that look like in our homes? That might look like totally different. You know why I'm going to do stuff? Because we do. Because we set the example. Don't think your kids will learn as much from your words as from your actions. And so true of leaders. People are going to learn far more from what your actions are and from your example than just from your words. Then, do this now. This is what leaders should be. This is what you should be doing. Then, when the chief shepherd appears, what's he reminding? Hey, all you guys out there, right? All you elders in all these different churches, Peter says, you're accountable. He doesn't get to do everything and say, well, I did my best. No, you are accountable. Then when the chief shepherd, that means I am under somebody else. That means I'm accountable to somebody else. That means I give an account for my life. That means I give an account for the church. That means I give an account for my family. All of it is true when you consider accountability. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that never fades away. For everything you gave up and you sacrificed, you thought, is this really worth it? Let me tell you, he says that Jesus rewards those who follow him and who lead like he wants us to lead, who the people that do that. When the chief shepherd, when the person I am ultimately and accountable to. And again, you want to know where things go off, where there is less and less accountability. Where there is less and less accountability. Where there's less and less accountability, let me just say, human nature kicks in. And when human nature kicks in, we don't automatically choose the best option. We tend to choose the worst option. We tend to choose what's best for us. That's what we just tend to do. That's what happens. You ramp down the accountability, human nature ramps up, and all of a sudden we start making decisions that is for our benefit because we don't have to tell anybody else. When you see people running from accountability, look out. It probably means they're doing things that they don't want to be accountable for. Because ultimately, we've said this before, you are accountable. I am accountable, ultimately to God, and in the systems that we put in place to check and balance and give accountability to. We have all those systems in place because accountability is so very, very important. And he ends with just this first part of verse 5 in the same way, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. And all he wanted to address there is, if you went back to where we talked about this whole idea of submit, okay, because they tried to make sure, okay, especially in that culture, that elders were older. Now, when you consider that, you need to consider something. Do you know what the average life expectancy was back then, okay? It wasn't what it is now, so, okay? We're not talking about you have to retire in order to be a leader. But he's saying, guess what? There's going to be people under you, okay? He says, for the people under the elders, submit to them. It's the same word that's used earlier when he said, we ought to submit to what? The governing authorities. We ought to submit in marriage. We ought to submit at work. There's places where we submit until it's time not to submit. When somebody's not doing what's right, when somebody's not following scripture, when somebody's not doing what they're supposed to do, that's when we stop submitting to them. But until then, he says what? I want you to submit to them. The church needs leaders, not just the whole church as a whole, everywhere in our country, in our city, but our church needs leaders. So if I may, for the next few moments, just try to get really specific and try to hone down what we would like to do moving forward this morning, okay? That we need leaders who are what? Who are accountable, who are willing, and who are worth following. That's really important. Leaders who are accountable and who are willing to be accountable, they are willing to do this, right? You don't have to twist their arm, you don't have to beg them, right? Please, please, we need somebody, please, right? You don't have to do that. And they're worth following. Somebody who's worth following because their life is an example of what it means to follow Jesus. So, moving forward, what I'm about to present, we do have sheets here this morning. I have some of them. It is going to be emailed out and put on our Facebook group. And if you're not a part of either, you know, send me your email. Send me a request to put you on the Facebook group. This document's going to be on both of those. It'll be sent out right after church this morning so that you can read through it, you can pray through it, and then if you have any questions, you can let us know. I'm calling this Time to Thrive Too, because I got to call it something to try to put it together in a package that will help us understand. The first Time to Thrive that we're still in, it has been amazing. We asked you to step up in a big way, and you guys have done that throughout everything that's happened over the last 8 months. It's been amazing. So when we started this, at the first part of this, it was all about how can we pay off the debt on this building, which at that point was right around about $36,000. And we're down to $17,000. Right? That's amazing. That is amazing. And that's simply with everybody doing their parts, right? $20 a month, a lot of you are doing, some of you did that all up front, and that helped us, okay? So we really are looking and saying, my goodness, we can have this totally paid off next year, okay? If we all just keep doing what we are doing now, we'll have paid off, we'll get to burn the mortgage, and I promise, Troy, I'll do that outside, okay? With a fire truck, okay? We'll have some things to celebrate that, removing that and taking care of that. This is what I'd like to call part two. A part that I never thought we would talk about or happen. This was not on my calendar, my agenda, my thoughts. But again, this has been a time, and I will say this again, and I'm going to sound like a broken record, but this has been a time where God has revealed things. Okay? Nothing has made this happen. Things have just been revealed. And there's two options you have when things are revealed. You can just, kind of deny them. Oh, no, that's not true. That didn't happen. Or you can embrace them and say, okay, now what do we do about this? What do we do about this? So this has three parts to it: pause, pivot, and to ultimately thrive. Okay? We want to pause, we want to pivot, to ultimately thrive. I appreciate everybody who has served this church, who has done it through all sorts of different things. I appreciate all our elders who have done that. When I met with them earlier this summer, I told them, in light of everything going on, I want to make sure they understood that nobody was making them be an elder or continuing to be an elder, that they had every opportunity to say, you know what, things have changed, life has changed, things are different. And so two of our elders have decided to do that. Okay, two of them decided to do that. I appreciate their service greatly. And you ought to tell them thank you for their service. So this leaves us in a place where normally, okay, normally we would do what? We'd have a business meeting. We put out nominations, right? Okay, so whose arm can we twist? Who can we nominate and make feel guilty that maybe they should serve us? Okay, come on, we just own this and be honest about this. This is how it went on a lot of times, okay? Go and beg people. Well, Ed, just go and beg people. Yeah, that's fun, okay? That's wonderful. That's what I love to do in my day. Go beg people. So that's what we could do. I think we should do something different. And I really believe we should do something different. When I talked about it with the elders, we all believe we should do something different. Okay? And so this is what I'm asking for you to think about and pray about with us. And please let us know if you have any questions or comments. So what's the pause? The pause is that we don't move forward with doing our normal elections and things with leadership this year. That we hit pause. That we just hit pause on that. Now, what does that look like if we hit pause? Well, if we hit pause on that, then what do we do? Then the two elders we have, along with myself and Pastor Ryan, then we will act as that leadership team for this year, okay? At least a year, okay? That's what it looks like. We would act as providing leadership for this year. We would pause all those other committees, all those other committee heads. We would just hit pause. We have trustees. We'd ask them to continue as normal, but we would pause everything else. We would just hit pause. A couple exceptions. The one I just told you about, the trustees. The other one is missions, and Kathy's willing to help us out doing that. Because one of the elders that has decided that it's time for him not to be an elder anymore is our financial elder. The giving aspect of that elder position will be handled by this leadership team, the remaining elders, the pastors. We will take care of the giving parts, and we are looking for someone in the church to help us with the other aspects of that, the bill paying parts and other financial aspects of that. So we have been praying and talking to people about that. That's what that looks like. That is the pause. So what's the pivot? The pivot is we have to do a better job to identify, disciple, and develop leaders. We just have to. And this is not just, we need more elders, okay? We need more leaders. We need more leaders. Because if you were a better leader and used your gifts here, you'd be a better leader in your home, you'd be a better leader at work, okay? This would just translate to everything else if we did better here with the leaders that we have. So we want to create an opportunity. I'm calling it a group just to start with, because there's a lot of work that's got to go on to develop this, where it is open and invitation, okay? A group that we will talk about leadership, we will look at it, talk about it, pray through things, and ultimately use it to identify and disciple people to be better leaders. Now, I am under no pretense that all of a sudden we do this, and gosh, next year we just go back to doing everything we did before. I think this is a great opportunity to see what God wants to do with us as a church, especially in the area of leadership moving forward. So pause, pivot, and ultimately I believe this is going to help us thrive. This is going to help us do what our church name is all about. Do better at what God has called us to do, to lead people into a growing relationship with Him. In our community, we can actually help the people, the nones, the dones, and the undones. as I like to call them, the people who have no faith, the people who are just done with faith, and the people who are undone. Part of the reason I was so excited when the Heal House opportunity came up was because that fits in people who are undone. People who just, because of circumstances in their life, need some extra help and support. And it is just incredible that we have this organization that we could partner with and help to help people who are in that situation. Pause, pivot, thrive. Because the church survives, just survives, gets by, makes it through times like this, or it could actually thrive on leadership. So, the sheets are available, and you can grab one after church if you'd like to. Again, this is going to be emailed out. It's going to be put in the Facebook group for your prayer and consideration. And we're asking you to affirm that. What does that mean? That means ask questions, but let us know what you think about this moving forward. I'd be happy to answer any question anytime. Sit down and talk to anybody further about this. This is just what we believe we got to do as a church to move in a greater direction, a better direction. And again, we could look and we say, oh, this time made this happen. No, it just revealed things, and we can actually use this opportunity to pause, to pivot, and to ultimately thrive. So let's pray together this morning, and then we're going to worship God one more time. We can give you the opportunity to grab that at the end if you'd like. Again, it'll be emailed out. It'll be put in the Facebook group. Please let us know your thoughts, and please be praying about this time. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I know I dumped a lot this morning that has to be processed and prayed through and thought about. And I would just ask that you would just help us to be able to do that. I know it's different than what we've done. These are different times, and if we've always do what we've always done, we will always get what we've always got. Perhaps it's time to get something different and better. Father, I thank you for those who have served very faithfully, committed to this church, who just believe this is a different season for them. I thank them for the service. I pray we would have nothing but grateful and thankfulness towards them for their work and for their service. But we pray you'd help us. Father, we need leaders. And those leaders are probably sitting here this morning. Some of them watching online. And you've called them and you've given them gifts. And for whatever reason, those gifts just go unused here. And help us find a way to identify and disciple and develop leaders who will help us move forward as a church to the mission you have called us to lead people into a growing relationship with you. And as we worship together this morning, we worship a God who has done so much in our lives that we just come with overwhelming gratitude for everything that you have done. Work and move in our hearts and lives and in our church. In Jesus' name.